Everyone, and we're pleased that we can share with you the Minnesota School Nutrition Association Legislative Conference. So we're going to learn a lot more, and we welcome you to our committee room. We have two items on the agenda today, Senate File 169, which will be presented by Senator Johnson, and then we're going to have a discussion on free and reduced price lunch. And so we will start with 169, and we'll ask Senator Johnson, and she has several testifiers, and we'll let you proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, first of all, Chair Wieger, it's 189, so whatever, just for the record.
Thank you.
So that it's make sure that it's on the record. The bill is very simple, as you can see. It just increases the amount of aid from the state from 12 to 14 cents per meal. And you might ask, that seems like a very small amount of money, but we recognize the situation the state is in with the finances and are being very modest about what we ask. The reason, first of all, to let you know that there has been no increase in state aid for 6 years. And secondly, now with the new federal guidelines and the nutrition changes, the concern about obesity, the concern about children spending or using getting more nutritional food. The fruits and vegetables are very much more expensive, as we all know in our own families, than the carbohydrates that generally have been a part of the menu. So it's for that reason that we come today and ask for this, I think, very modest increase. It's important that we keep school lunches down as much as possible, because if we raise prices, we automatically see a decrease in the number of students who partake in the lunch program. And besides not meeting their nutritional needs, it also cuts into the cost of meals. Fewer people, the costs go higher. So we want to keep as many people eating for two reasons. First of all, for their nutritional benefit, and secondly, and their ability to stay in school and be attentive while they're in their classrooms. So with that, I will introduce Elaine Keefe from the Minnesota School Nutrition Association, and she will talk to you about the background on this bill.
Thank you, Sarah Johnson. Welcome, Ms. Keefe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Elaine Keefe, and I represent the Minnesota School Nutrition Association. And our association is made up of school nutrition directors, dietitians, cooks, and cafeteria servers. Our members work hard to provide meals to Minnesota school children that are nutritious, low in cost, and appealing to students. And that's a difficult balancing act. The link between nutrition and student achievement is well established, but it's not enough to not just fill up students' stomachs. The research shows that the quality of the nutrition is very important as well. A report from Action for Healthy Kids that was entitled The Learning Connection actually looked at 92 different studies and concluded that well-nourished kids tend to be better students, while poorly nourished children tend to have weaker academic performance and score lower on standardized achievement tests. Inadequate consumption of key food groups deprives children of essential vitamins, minerals, fats, and proteins that are necessary for optimal cognitive function. For example, iron deficiency has been linked to shorter attention span, fatigue, and difficulty with concentration. And low protein intake is associated with lower achievement scores. And that's where school lunch can make a big difference. Numerous studies have shown that school lunches have significantly higher levels of key nutrients than lunches consumed by children who don't participate in school lunch. Children who eat school lunch consume more vegetables, more milk, and less sugar than those who don't eat school lunch. I have no doubt that that'll be even greater the case this year when future studies are done after they study lunches that are provided under the new federal meal pattern. Raising the nutritional bar for school lunches is a good thing, but it has made school lunches more costly to produce. School nutrition programs already face a significant financial challenge. The vast majority of school districts cannot cover the cost of a school lunch through the combination of student payments, federal funding, and state funding. Schools in Minnesota, and we just got new updated figures from MDE last week, lose an average of 35 cents on every lunch that they serve. It used to be common practice for school boards to set lunch prices at a level where they knew they'd lose money, but they did so because they wanted to keep the lunches affordable to families, and they would budget to make up that loss with a transfer from the general fund. I would often hear this from members of the legislature who had previously served on their school boards. Those days are long gone. These days, school boards expect their school nutrition programs to be self-supporting. They don't want to have to cover a deficit in the food service fund by taking money from the general fund because that takes money out of the classroom. So most schools make up that 35-cent gap between the cost of producing a school lunch and the revenues received by selling a la carte items. That's individual foods that are sold to students in the a la carte line. But we now have newly proposed federal regulations. They were just issued on February 1st, so we're still parsing the 160-page document that was published, that are expected to severely limit the foods that are sold in a la carte lines. And so the ability to raise revenue in that way will be decreased. Why don't we just raise our lunch prices? Well, you heard Senator Johnson talk about that. School boards do raise lunch prices pretty regularly, but they're cautious about raising the price too much because we know that the price goes up and it creates a hardship for some families, especially those families who just missed the cutoff for qualifying for reduced price lunch. They don't have much more money, but they have to pay the full price rather than the 40 cents. And those families really struggle with that. Some of them stop participating, and when participation drops, it's bad for the kids. They don't get that nutritious lunch, and we also lose economies of scale. So additional state funding for lunch can really help schools keep the lunches affordable to families, reduce our dependence on a la carte sales in order to make ends meet, and help us cover the cost of providing more nutritious but costlier items like fresh fruits and vegetables and whole grains. State funding for school lunch hasn't been increased in 6 years, and during that time, the cost of producing a school lunch in Minnesota has increased from an average of $2.62 per lunch to $3.09 per lunch. That's an increase of 18%. I expect when we get next year's numbers based on the new federal meal pattern that we'll see a pretty big spike in that number as well. So we're asking for an increase in school lunch of from 12 cents per lunch to 14 cents per lunch. That's an increase of 16.7%. So I think we're being very reasonable, and we hope you think so too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Keefe.
And members, Mr. Chair, if I could please.
Attorney Johnson.
To let you know that the cost of this is approximately $2 million.
Per year.
Per year.
We have a fiscal note that I believe is being distributed, so thank you.
Great. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the opportunity to be here this morning to testify on behalf of the Minnesota School Nutrition Association and all of our members in support of Senate File 189. Again, I am Rachel Valiseno, and I'm the Public Policy Chair for the Minnesota School Nutrition Association and also the Food and Nutrition Services Director for Owatonna Public Schools. So I'm sure you're all well aware, we've all been hearing so much about these new nutrition standards that schools across the country had to implement this fall. And I first and foremost want to say that the new nutrition standards are great news for our kids in our state and across the country. They help school nutrition professionals build on the work that we're already doing to provide more fruits and vegetables, whole grains, and healthier entrees in our school cafeterias. And I wanted to just take a moment to just quickly review what those new nutrition standards provide. Specifically, students this year now are seeing more fruits and vegetables, and so that's larger serving sizes and quantities of fruits and vegetables throughout the course of the week. And specifically now, schools are required to provide different subgroups of vegetables throughout the course of the week. So kids are now seeing dark green vegetables, red-orange vegetables, starchy vegetables, and legumes. And so menu planning is really quite complicated, if you can maybe try to envision trying to hit all of these different subgroup categories. The new nutrition standards also provide for more whole grains, fat-free or 1% milk, and age-appropriate limits on calories, sodium, and saturated fats. Something else that also is new this fall is that students now must have a fruit or vegetable as a part of their lunch each day in order for it to be considered complete. And it is well known, of course, that Americans do not come close to consuming the recommended number of servings of fruits and vegetables each day. So this, by far, is just a great step in the right direction as we work to help students create healthy habits that will last a lifetime. And I know I network and talk to lots of other districts across our state, and I know that currently there are a number of districts that are offering multiple choices of fruits and vegetables every day on their menus. So that ultimately is going to, of course, guarantee that each student that comes through that lunch line, they're going to easily be able to select something that they know that they enjoy. And I think, again, we all know how important it is to, of course, encourage our students to accept and consume all of these healthier options. And school nutrition professionals across our state have actually found great ways to get students excited about healthy food choices and are continuing to work on creative solutions to ensure that these healthy foods appeal to our students. And I wanted now to just provide you with some examples of what school districts in our state are doing. I'm sure you've heard much about the farm-to-school movement in our state and across the country, but many, many districts have implemented wonderful farm-to-school programs that are bringing fresh, local produce, as well as grains, even beef and chicken, into the cafeteria, which is just wonderful for many reasons, as you, I'm sure, well know. And in addition to that, it's very important that we're able to then help the students get an understanding about where their food comes from, because we know that there's a great disconnect in our country as far as how does that food get from the farm to our plate. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity to educate our students on where their food comes from. Also in our state, many school districts will often host student taste tests to, of course, get feedback directly from the students and to get them involved in the menu planning process. Other districts are doing fun things such as hosting a Harvest of the Month program. So they're going to then be introducing a new fruit or vegetable each month to the kids, because you would be surprised how many children don't even know what a kiwi is, for example. And so it's just a really great thing that districts are doing to expose kids to new foods. Many districts also involve students and parents to gather recipe suggestions to reflect ethnic and regional favorite foods into their menus, so that's a wonderful thing. And I also know of many, many districts that are currently and even have been for years offering unlimited fresh fruits and vegetables to the students, so they, again, can really fill up on those nutrient-dense foods and help sustain them through the rest of the afternoon. And along with that, on any given day in our cafeterias, we're always encouraging students to take a sample of something. If they're just not so sure, just take a sample, whether it's of a fruit or a vegetable or the entree for the day. We really want to encourage them to feel good about just taking a little taste and trying something new that they may in turn then find that they enjoy. Also, as Elaine alluded to, school nutrition programs, of course, are managed to be self-supporting, and the food service fund is separate from the general fund. Oftentimes, that is something that people aren't aware of. And so as a food service operation in a school, we are ultimately responsible for all expenditures incurred for operating a school nutrition program. So if you can imagine, that's everything. So that's our food and milk purchases, labor and benefits for employees, equipment, anything from buying new ovens to our technology in our cafeterias, repairs and maintenance to keep our kitchens functioning, as well as utilities, water, sewer disposal services, the list goes on. So if you can just imagine what it would take to run a restaurant, it's the exact same thing that we are doing every day in our school, cafeterias and food service departments. And again, this year, more than ever, school nutrition programs are, of course, facing a significant financial challenge. As you can probably guess, as Elaine alluded to, the new nutrition standards come at a significant cost, and there is that widening gap between the cost of producing a school lunch and the revenues received. And again, the largest challenge is the rising cost of fruits or vegetables. I want to just take a moment to refer to the handout that we provided you this morning that looks like this. And just point out a few things specifically on this handout. At the very top, as you can see, we have for you photos of a school lunch last year compared to this year. And as you can quickly identify, the amounts of fruits and vegetables has increased dramatically, as I started off this morning and shared with you. Also want to point out at the bottom the graph. This is a graph of one Minnesota district's expenditures of fresh fruits and vegetables over 4 years. And I think you'll find it quite shocking to see how much that has increased in just a four-year period of time. And I'm sure in general, all of us personally, as we're out in the grocery store, we're seeing our grocery store bills increase dramatically, really, when we think back to even what we were paying last year. Furthermore, 100% of districts that responded to a recent survey reported an increase in total food costs from last year to this year. And in terms of food costs per meal, districts are reporting that they're seeing anywhere from an increase of 15 cents to 23 cents per meal in comparison to last year. And it's being reported that the biggest factor in food cost change is due to the increase, again, in the amount of produce that we're serving, as Elaine alluded to. Additionally, the majority of school districts, if not all, have seen labor costs rise, primarily, again, coming back to that increase of produce that we're serving, because as you can imagine, in the kitchen, it's taking more time to prepare and get those fresh fruits and vegetables ready for our kids every day. Pictures are wonderful, I think, and they do a nice job of portraying, kind of what we're doing. But as you can see, I'm sure you're all getting hungry seeing these wonderful trays here. So we just thought it would be, again, just really helpful for you to really just see with, in the flesh here, what are we serving our kids in school? Again, this would be the example of last year.
Excuse me, Ms. Balasano, could you tilt it a little bit?
You bet. So this is, the example of the tray from last year. Note, obviously, the fruits and vegetables, for example, on this tray. And then, obviously, this is school lunch.
You have to take two hands.
Yeah, exactly. You do have to hold it with two hands, considering, again, if you can look at the massive amounts, we've got beautiful fresh strawberries, oranges, cucumbers, and then, of course, this is a yummy black bean salsa that has not only black beans, getting our legumes, remember, pinto beans, and, of course, there's red peppers and green peppers and some corn. So a very wide variety of nutrients are being provided to our students with just this one meal alone. And then, again, we have a wonderful sandwich that's on some ciabatta bread, and it's some lean, deli turkey. So it's just a really, again, if you ate this, I think you would be stuffed. I mean, it's a substantial amount. And again, kids can have as many fruits and vegetables as they want, so they could, of course, pile it on even more if they would like. In closing, I just wanted to say that we are extremely appreciative for the current financial support that we receive in state reimbursements, but clearly additional financial assistance is needed to help programs in our state remain financially viable. So on behalf of the Minnesota School Nutrition Association and all of the school districts in our state, we urge you to please support an increase in school lunch aid from 12 cents to 14 cents per meal. So thank you so much again for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much, Balasano. Senator Barnoff.
Mr. Chair, I know there's many people to testify, so I'll be brief. But I'm wondering if you could tell us whether or not you do a calorie count for your lunches.
I didn't.
Balasano.
Sorry.
That's fine.
I'll take this one. Okay. thank you, Senator Bonner, for that question. I at the beginning alluded to that with the new federal standards, there are now age-appropriate limits set for calories, which is new this year. Previously, we had a minimum level of calories that needed to be met for a school lunch. Well, now this year, there's a maximum level, so we can't exceed that. So we're, keeping in mind, what is appropriate for a school-aged child. And, of course, that looks different for an elementary child than a high school child. Clearly, a high school child will be the meal will allow for more calories.
So, Mr. Chair, and that particular dish that you just shared with us, can you give us a range of calories that would be on that plate?
You would ask that. I'm afraid I didn't do my nutrient analysis for this particular.
Doesn't have to be exact.
I'm guessing anyone is, 600 or so probably. Yeah, 600 calories would be our guess.
Okay,
so.
Thank you.
Very good. Senator Daines.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Keefe, I think you were talking about some dollars and some cost. Can you tell me, you said the free and reduced lunches were 40 cents per meal. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, the free lunches, of course, are free to the student. The reduced price lunch, the student pays 40 cents for.
And the follow-up, Mr. Chair, For the full price lunch, how much do the students pay for that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, that is set locally, so that varies from district to district. School boards set lunch prices. Typically, there is a higher price for the secondary level and a lower price for the elementary school level. Perhaps Ms. Valesino can talk a little bit more about typical prices.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Dames. In Owatonna, we, of course, do have different meal prices for elementary kiddos versus, you know, junior high and high school. So, for example, our top end at our high school is $2.45 per meal, and our elementary schools are $2.25 per meal. And again, I always like to challenge anyone, if you can go to the grocery store and try to incorporate whole grains, you know, all of this fresh produce for that price, you'll never come, you won't be able to do it. It would cost you much more. So it's a value for sure.
Follow up, Mr.
Chair. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just another question. Can you tell me roughly what percent of the meals are free and reduced of the total meals served?
In our state?
Yeah.
It was 45. Yes, 45% of our state is meals that are provided to students that are free or reduced.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And the information on the financial impact and the fiscal note is here. You'll note over 100 million lunches are served, you know, in our schools, and that's not counting the breakfast. I believe we're focusing on lunches right now, so it's an amazing programs that you have in all of your districts. We appreciate that. Thanks, and we'll perhaps recall you as needed. Our next testifier is Rachel Callahan from the American Heart Association and Minnesotans for Healthy Kids Coalition.
To your calling, Mr. Chair.
Yes. And if, well, how about we'll take Ms. Callahan, and then we'll take the parents and students in the next segment.
Okay,
Ms. Callahan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Rachel Callahan. I'm the Regional Vice President of Advocacy for the American Heart Association, and I also chair the Minnesotans for Healthy Kids Coalition, which is our statewide childhood obesity coalition. We have about 30 members. Minnesota School Nutrition Association is one of the members. And we have been working for several years on childhood obesity policy at the state and federal level. I'm here today to speak on behalf of both my organization and the coalition in support of Senate File 189. This is one of the coalition's top legislative priorities for the session, along with funding for Safe Routes to School, funding for the statewide health improvement program, and support for farm-to-school programs in the state. We know that childhood obesity rates have tripled in the last several decades. We know that children are not getting the physical activity they should, 60 minutes per day. And we know that children need better access to healthy foods, both at school and at home. We know that the end result of these patterns that have been established over the last four decades will mean that this generation of children is expected to have a lower life expectancy than their parents. This is the first time in history that we've seen that. So this is, it is a dramatic impact. It's easy to point fingers at who's responsible or who should take the blame, but I'm glad to say that Minnesota School Nutrition Association has been incredibly proactive in working to address the problem. In 2010, Congress did enact the Improved Nutrition Standards for School Meals, called the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act. The new standards wouldn't be implemented until the 2012-13 school year, this current year. But many Minnesota schools were already ahead of the curve, such as the Hopkins School District, Senator Bonoff's district, and my alma mater, I have to say, which had used the SHIP funding to improve nutrition in their schools. Other schools jumped on board, knowing that these new rules were coming and that it was the best thing for their kids. The new standards were put into effect at the beginning of this school year, and many districts already had the chance to test the waters. The higher level of funding proposed in this bill was found to be necessary to adequately implement the new and improved standards. The bottom line is, if we want to feed our children healthy food, we need to make that investment today. The payoffs will be tremendous. With the improved nutrition standards, more kids will try healthier foods. They will also get used to picking up a carrot stick instead of a French fry or an apple instead of a Snickers bar. The change is hard, and you may have heard some of the pushback in newspapers and in the media, but this is the right thing to do for Minnesota's children, and supporting the Minnesota School Nutrition Association in their efforts to provide the healthiest food they can is an important step towards reversing the childhood obesity trends that are alive and well in Minnesota. In closing, the American Heart Association and the Minnesotans for Healthy Kids Coalition support Senate File 189 and any efforts to improve the nutrition of food served or sold to our kids in school. This is an important piece of legislation to begin reversing childhood obesity trends. I thank you for attention to the issue. I would also like to invite any of the senators on this committee to join the fight against childhood obesity by joining the Childhood Obesity Legislative Working Group. This group was originally formed by Senator Bonhoff several years ago, and it has been a very important bicameral and bipartisan voice on these issues at the Capitol. The current co-chairs are Representative Kim Norton and Representative Bob Detmer from Forest Lake, and their next meeting is scheduled next Thursday, the 21st. Please reach out to me if you're interested in joining that group. We are also looking for a Senate co-chair, so I would invite any of you to participate in that if you can. I thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Ms. Scoutman. And next we have the Johnsons, I believe.
Good morning.
Ms. Johnson.
Thank you. I feel super thankful and blessed that I can speak very briefly, and I know you don't have much time, but
on something. Ms. Johnson, if you could state your full name for the record.
My name is Michelle Johnson, and I live in Minnetonka. My children attend the Hopkins School District. I'm thankful that I can speak to you because I feel pretty passionate about nutrition and the things that are going into my children's bodies on a daily basis. I feel that so much of our foods are processed, and the carbohydrates in our country seem to sustains so many people, and especially our kids. But I'm just happy to speak about the awesome schools in our district. About 2 years ago, my husband and I created a new way of eating in our household, and we try to eliminate processed foods and base things on high amounts of protein, and we try to incorporate at least 5 different vegetables every day. It's hard, hard, hard to do. But we really strive to do that. And with the proteins and the vegetables, we feel super strongly about it. What's great about our school lunches is that I feel like when my kids go to school, it's not what we're trying to do at home is not being undone. It's being enhanced. And I know that my kids are getting the things that we would like them to have at school. So we feel quite lucky for that. I'd like to talk a little bit about the lunches in the Hopkins School District. Compared to the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the lunches that I remember having to eat, it is so different. And there's just so many delicious options that the children are offered. And this is a perfect – this looks just like something that my children would be served in Hopkins. A lot of times I'll do a high – ask my children what their high and their low was for each day when they come home from school. And yesterday my son said – for his high, they had sliced jalapenos that I could put in my chili today. I mean, that was like a huge deal for him. So, I mean, just the neat options are great. The foods, it's whole foods. It's not the heavy processed things that they're getting. And I do find that it's, you know, whole grains that taste good, lots of protein, tons of choices of veggies and fruit that the kids can have as much of that they want. You know, choose a couple veggies, choose a couple fruits, whatever the kids can get in their bodies, and it's handmade. My mother often comes up from Chicago, and one of the things she loves to do is to go to school with her grandchildren to see what they're eating at lunch because she cannot believe that the fruits and vegetables are actually hand-cut. She was super impressed about that a few years ago, and she loves to come and eat lunch with them when she's in town. As far as school performance, I believe that the foods my kids eat and the other children in the school, it's directly correlated. I think that foods that have a low glycemic index are important for kids, especially as they're going into the afternoon. I mean, some of the more rigorous curriculum is done in the afternoon, especially for the older children. And to have a healthy lunch that's not loaded down with sugars and carbs is really, really helpful for kids not to get that lull in the afternoon and fall asleep. They're really able to focus and pay attention. I have a lot of friends, and we talk about how great it is that we can send our kids to school and that they can get at least one really great meal a day, because some of us really do participate in that overscheduling of our kids. We've got hockey, sports, piano, church, whatever it might be, and sometimes you're just grabbing stuff and taking it with you as you know, best you can in the evenings, but to know that they're actually getting exactly what they need at school is so important. So when I think about my children, I also think about children who may not have that opportunity in our district or around the state to get a well-balanced meal, and I think it's a real service to these families across our state. So now my daughter will speak to her experiences. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. And
I'm Grace Johnson, and I go to Glen Lake in the Hopkins School District. I'm a fifth grader, and I play hockey and soccer. The school lunches at our school are really good, and they're really tasty, and you get a choice of school lunch or salad. So some days, me and my friends go up, and we go get salad, and they're like, hey, you guys should try this, and we try it, and we love it, and we want more. So that's what I really like about the salads. And there are different kinds of salad toppings that you would not have, like, every single day. So that's what I like about our school salads. And there are things like beans and, like, other unique food. There's opportunities to try unique foods. For example, I got to try edamame, and now it's one of my favorite kinds of vegetables. And so, yeah, I like edamame. And
maybe you tell people what it is, what it's like.
It's kind of a bean. Well, yeah, it's a kind of bean, and it's really tasty. And I've tried it at my school, and now whenever we see edamame on other menus at like different restaurants, I always want to get it. So, yeah. And then farmers, we get to meet farmers at our school who grow foods, and it's fun to hear how our food gets to us. So, yeah. And foods help me get through the day. I have, like, math in the afternoon, and that's really important to me. And then I have sports after that. So, yeah, our school has really tasty and healthy foods. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing your testimony. Questions of either the Johnsons?
How about the three Johnsons?
Right. Sorry, you'll have a close later. I'd like to ask especially the next generation, what's your dream? What do you plan on doing after you graduate high school? Ms. Johnson.
I want to play hockey.
Professional.
Break that ceiling and good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Grace, I have a question for you about how other kids feel about the school lunch. I happen to have two kids that are in high school. They're boys. And they just want to go eat outside because they think that the school lunch is not that cool. It's not. It's just. So what do you think that the schools can do to really promote the school lunch and get other kids excited, just like you are? What do you think they need to do?
Ms. Johnson.
I'm not quite sure, but what kind of inspires me and my friends is one person starts to have it at school, and then they tell other people about it, and that's how I tried the salad and other kinds of foods. And then after you have it, then you can, like, spread the word, and everybody likes it.
Sounds like Twitter.
Again, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I might, I'd really like to acknowledge all of the people that are here today at the meeting. Think of the people that really, parents are turning their kids over to these people to supervise some of the basic important parts of education, and that is that seeing to it that they're getting fed properly with both the breakfast program and the lunch program. And I think we should give them a hand for all the work they do.
I believe our next testifier is Hannah Hartog.
Great.
And if Alex Meehan is here, Alex, you may approach as well. And as the previous testifiers, please state your name for the record. Welcome to the committee.
I'm Hannah Hartog, and I'm from Burnsville High School. And as you know, Burnsville High School is probably one of the most diverse schools in our district. And I go to lunch, and I'm trying new things every day. Like, we have gyros now, and I've had gyros before, and they're really good. And, like, they have tzatziki sauce, which is like a cucumber sauce. And I've had it before, and I've never thought I could have it at school. Like, I never thought they would have it. And I eat the last lunch of the day, which isn't till like, noon. So before me, like, from 10:30 to noon, there's so many kids who come through. And, you know, it's hard to keep, like, fruits and vegetables looking appetizing for that long, for 2 hours. So, like, I see the lunch ladies a lot cooking our vegetables, and that makes them look really good. Like, I don't see a kid who doesn't take broccoli if we have it out and cooked, or if we have sweet potatoes, most kids take those too. And I see a lot of kids like eating more lunches. Like, I know in elementary school, like my generation, we're going through so many changes through lunch. Like, my elementary school lunch when I had it looks way different than my high school lunch now. So I see a lot more like kids willing to take lunch. Like, I know kids who didn't take lunch in elementary school and refuse it and now taking lunch because there's so many options and it just looks all good. Yeah.
Does your meal look like that?
Yeah, my meal looks like that usually. Mm-hmm. It's really good. There's a lot of choices in fruits and vegetables, which is always nice. Because I know if I have an orange, sometimes I don't want to peel a whole orange. So I like picking strawberries, or they have mixed vegetables, and they have new vegetables I haven't tried before. Sometimes they put things in the vegetables that make them look more appetizing, like little brown sugar to make it taste a little sweeter, which is good. And then there's a lot of new foods I haven't tried. Like, I haven't eaten sweet potatoes much until I've gone to school, and now I want to go home and I want to eat sweet potatoes. Like, if I see them in my fridge, I'm like, oh, I want that for dinner. And I go home and I want like all these healthy foods rather than just I want to go to Wendy's and get a cheeseburger. I would like want to go home and eat a gyro or eat a salad or something like that.
Thank you. A question, Ms. Hartog.
Yeah.
Who has the biggest influence on you in terms of the choices of food?
The choices of food? I'd say myself by now. I have a job and I work a lot and I dance a lot. So when I choose my food, I'm usually choosing it alone. But I grew up with different food choices. Like, in my beginning years, I grew up with unhealthy food choices. But now, like, we changed my household a lot, and we have a lot more healthy choices, but the unhealthy choices are still out there. So I feel like my mom has encouraged me to choose healthy choices, and the school has too. Because now I see these foods out there, and I go to Cub, and when I'm buying stuff for my dinner, and I choose that, I choose vegetables and fruits, and I'll buy a bag of apples sometimes, and it's really good.
Thank you. And your dream following high school?
I want to be a physical therapist. So.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Mr. Meehan, Alex?
Hi, I'm Alex Meehan, and for school lunches, I usually just go up to a line, or the past years I just went up and got my entree, and that was it, and there was nothing interesting about, like, fruits and vegetables, but now I can look, and there's a line, or even, like, a bar of salad, and then they have, every day is a different fruit and vegetable and a variety of them, and now I actually like fruits and vegetables, so, I mean, it's much better. I don't know, they're just... Lunches have improved so much, and I like them that much better every day.
Thank you. Questions, and I'll ask you also to share the dream, but prior to that, any additional questions from committee members? Mr. Meehan, would you like to share what your dream is after high school?
I want to become an engineer and invent something that will change the... I don't know, the world, maybe?
Awesome.
Just something
step
little like that.
Computers.
That works.
Okay. Well, future Mr. Bill Gates.
Okay. Well, thank you for your testimony. And Senator Johnson, we have a number of other people here in support, and if anyone would like to approach and just offer their support, I believe there's time for that before we entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would like to ask the food service director from Spring Lake Park High School, in one of my school districts, if she would come up and address yesterday during the testimony. I noticed, and you may have noticed, that Spring Lake Park High School was, or schools were cited for not treating their children respectfully. And that concerned me, and I didn't really believe it because I had visited the school program last Friday morning. I went over to one of our elementary schools and watched their breakfast program get distributed. And just let me divert a little bit because going to that breakfast program at the Woodcrest Elementary School, rather than going to the lunchroom, all the kids going to the lunchroom, the kids come in and they pick up a bag that is when they get off the bus or when they come into school at the appropriate time, around 9, I believe it is. They all come and take their bag and they go into their classrooms. And it's a time for the teacher and the kids to kind of socialize a little bit. And they have found that it works very well that way. Some of the other school districts or schools in the district do it in the cafeteria, as you might expect. But because I had visited with the food service people and talked to them about turning away people, that children who don't have the money or have charges on their credit, on their statement, that how they deal with that situation. And I spoke directly with the food service person at Woodcrest School, and also with Ms. Kimmel. So if we could ask her to address that, I told her beforehand that I would be asking her to do that.
Okay. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Amy Kimmel, and I'm the nutrition
Ms. Kimmel, a little closer to the mic. Thank you.
Sorry. Is that better?
Or bring it to you, perhaps.
Okay, my name is Amy Kimmel. I am the Nutrition Services Director at the Spring Lake Park School District. And yes, this morning, Alice and I did have a conversation in reference to, I guess it's considered a shaming practice. So just hearing it called that is a little concerning. And you know, bottom line, we're here to feed kids breakfast and lunch every day, and that's our goal, that's my goal, that's my employees' goal, and what a rewarding opportunity we have every day to get to participate in that. And so to hear it called a shaming practice, like I said, that was very concerning to me when she had brought that to my attention. And I guess past practices maybe were the case. To just reference back to what Rachel Valisano had commented on was, we're our own entity as far as what we do in the nutrition services department at every school district. We need to be fiscally competent, fiscally responsible for what we do on a day-to-day basis. At the same time, we can't lose light of what our goal is every day, and that's to feed kids. And so there is a really a fine line, I guess, in terms of what we need to do to make sure that we're following the guidelines and upholding the rules that have been put in place by the USDA. At the same time, looking at every little kid's face that comes by or comes to our lunch line, and they want to eat one of these nutritious meals. And so in terms of what we do at our district is, we connect with, at the elementary level, we connect with each student's teacher if they have gone into the negative, letting that teacher know ahead of time that an individual or a student has went below the number of lunches that are allowable to be charged. And at that time, the teacher connects with that student and lets them know that we have a bag lunch available for them unless they have brought money to put in their account. And so if this, when the student comes into the lunchroom, they'll come and get a bag lunch directly from the manager. However, if the student does get in line and does take a tray and comes through the lunch line, and at that time we notice that that was one of the students that was beyond our charging threshold, we do not take that tray away. And like I said, prior to me being at the district, That could have been a past practice, but that's not a current practice that we are engaging in today.
Okay. Well, Ms. Kimmel, we are going to have a discussion following action on this regarding free and reduced lunch. This was a discussion yesterday in the policy committee, and Senators Hoffman and Hayden had proposals, and so we'll that's on the record. So,
okay.
Thank you. We have a few minutes before we'll entertain a motion. If any of you, especially if you came outside the metro, if you'd like to share a statement, we are being televised, and you could share that news back home. I leave that to you if you'd like to introduce yourself and reiterate why this is important.
Mr. Chair, if I might also invite people from your schools to step forward, this is the time to make a case for getting additional money for lunch, and so use this opportunity to tell people about your needs and desires, any of you.
Senator Pratt?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering if I could ask Ms. Keefe or Ms. Valisano, you said free and reduced price lunches were at 40 cents. How are those being funded today if a 2 cent increase weren't approved? Are those out of the district's general fund? It sounds like a set price. So there's really no impact to families, but
Ms. Keefe, you'll take that question?
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, Senator Pratt, I'm a little confused about the question. Do you mean?
It was stated that reduced lunches are at a fixed price of 40 cents per meal. And so regardless of what happens today, I'm assuming that doesn't change. Are those being funded out of district funds? Are those going to meal increases to other students? How are you able to maintain that in light of rising costs?
Well, Senator Pratt.
Ms. Valisano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Pratt, the 40 cents per every reduced price meal that we charge, that's a federal guideline, and that's we cannot charge any more than that for a reduced price meal. And so that is the family's responsibility to pay for that 40 cents. That is their portion that they're responsible for. And then so the difference, are you asking what happens then? How do we cover the cost
Yes.
for that meal? And then, of course, we receive reimbursements from both federal and state sources that help cover, you know, get closer. But, again, it never completely covers the cost. But there are reimbursements from federal and state sources to help, try to bridge that gap.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Pratt.
Ms. Keefe or Ms. Valisano, how much of the increase in cost, you mentioned the increase in time as well as the increase in produce, how much of the new federal guidelines increased your cost? Because we're looking at about a $2 million annual increase based on this proposal.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pratt, in my district, we actually have seen, certainly many of us, I'm sure in the room, have done the math, but we've seen a 23-cent increase from per meal from last year to this year. So it's quite a bump. Total food costs for lunch alone have increased by about $40,000 at this time this year in comparison to last year. So it's definitely those new nutrition standards are having a great impact on the cost of producing a meal.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't mean to upset the flow of the meeting.
Oh, that's fine. Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Keefe or Ms. Valisano, either one of you could probably answer this. Some of the students that I've talked to have a concern about, they say, with the new lunch program versus the program of last year as far as the offerings, that they're not getting enough calories, they're not getting enough food. So what they're doing is they're substituting with some unhealthy snacks to try to get the calories up there. Has there been a considerable calorie change in the food from 2011-12 to 2012-13?
Ms. Felsen.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, if if going back to my testimony earlier, in previous years, there was no maximum calorie level. So that could vary from district to district as far as how many calories they were providing for their school lunch. New this year, there is now a maximum calorie level that we cannot exceed. And so based on an individual district, maybe, you know, they were providing more calories than you know, what the maximum now allows for. But again, that, you know, is going to vary from district to district. But I do just want to share that a typical school lunch is intended to provide about one-third of the daily nutrient needs for a student. And, of course, you know, that includes 24 key nutrients that our kids need to grow and develop and, you know, become those future leaders and engineers and physical therapists. But it also is important to note that the calorie ranges are intended for the average student. So, for example, if a student is very physically active or participates in sports, it is true that he or she may need more calories than what the maximum allows for. And so, you know, they may find that they do need to supplement. But again, that would be the extreme, because most of our kids, you know, obviously the USDA spent years determining, you know, what these new standards are going to look like. And so the majority of our kids, that calorie maximum meets their needs. And again, remember, we've got unlimited fruits and vegetables, all of these really nutrient-dense foods, those whole grains that are going to sustain them, you know, well through the lunch hour. But it is just a change, I think, as Rachel Callanan alluded to. We're so used to supersizing. You know, we're so used to portions that are far beyond the recommended, you know, appropriate portion sizes. And so as a country, you know, we have a problem. I mean, we have a big problem that we need to change and work on. And school lunch is, I think, just an excellent place to start. But it's going to take time. And so if a student does choose to not try some of those, you know, strawberries today, or that, you know, those, that broccoli, you know, fresh broccoli or cooked steamed broccoli, you know, we have to continue to work with those kids and encourage them. And that's where I talked about, we, you know, districts are doing taste testings, offering samples, because truly, I alluded to, again, look at all of that food on that tray. Anyone, I mean, I think even an athlete would be pretty satisfied if they had all of that for lunch on a given day. And so it's all about the choices that the students are making. And so as a country, as, you know, a world, we need to work as a team. And so the parents need to get on board, you know, the restaurants, the food industry needs to get on board. We have to work collectively to share the same message, to practice the same things, so that ultimately, you know, what we see in school lunch is what we're seeing at home in any place that a student goes.
A follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Sir James.
I think it's a fair assumption, then, that the reason for the reduction in calorie is to provide a healthier meal versus cost.
Ms. Valsano.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, correct. You know, again, the... We're really in a tough, you know, spot. Obviously, when you think about our country, you know, we're challenged with providing nutrition for kids that are maybe, you know, in lower income families that don't have as much access to things that a middle class or upper class family will have. But on the other hand, our other challenge is children and, you know, our obesity epidemic in our kiddos today. And so, we have a huge task at hand to balance kids that are maybe undernourished, or again, even these kids that are or would be considered obese, those kids actually too are undernourished or malnourished, because they're getting a lot of empty calories from, you know, processed foods, you know, white breads, you know, potato chips. So they're really missing out on a lot of important nutrients that they need to have that, you know, good for brain development, growth, et cetera. So we're challenged with a big task.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have one additional testifier. Please state your name.
Hi, my name is Kara Hartog, and I am a cook manager at Gideon Pond Elementary in the Burnsville Eagan School District.
Might and she be related to Hannah?
I'm afraid so.
Congratulations.
Yeah, she is. She's my baby girl, but I'm very, very proud of her. And she was not lying. She did just buy a bag of Pink Lady apples and brought them home. And when she has her own food choices and she's making choices like that, it's really fun to watch. But what I wanted to testify towards was being a cook manager and all of these changes, our roles have changed. We're no longer lunch ladies. We're actually educators. And how I approach it in my kitchen is my kitchen's called Cafe Pond. And we have a motto that we're learning to navigate nutrition. And we have a little sail ship. And we are really teaching these kids how to navigate nutrition. And I just want to express, we really do need your additional support with this because of the costs. And we are feeding kids so many, many different things. In my kitchen, we just recently roasted kale and made kale chips. And the kids like it. And so there's a lot of fun stuff going on. And the kids really are not throwing things away because we are sampling things and allowing them to take just a taste and then to come back for a full serving size. So the whole face has changed of our industry, and it's a lot of fun.
Thank you very much for sharing that. Senator Johnson, and we'll entertain a motion. And I should, I guess, disclose that there's no conflict, but my mother was the lunch lady, and so was my grandmother. Thanks, Mom and Grandma. Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, is there a motion? Or?
That would be up to you.
I would move that this bill be passed and considered for the omnibus bill.
Yes.
Is that the correct one, Mr.
Yes,
Chair?
It would be moved to layover for possible consideration in the omnibus bill, Senate File 189.
I didn't want to lay it over unless I had to. But
with kindergarten and the other proposals that we'll be reviewing over the next
and
several
I would
weeks.
Make that motion, Mr. Chair.
Okay, on that motion, discussion? Not all in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Johnson. Thank you, everyone, from the School Nutrition Association Legislative Conference. You're welcome to join us for a discussion now, to listen on the free and reduced price lunch. Also, the Teddy Bear Band is playing out there with our rally, so you have a lot of different interests here.
Yeah, I heard you did that yesterday, right?
Other things than omnibus.
That's been real.
Yes.
We're
going to
take a 2-minute recess.
What are we doing?